This is CliffCentral.com. Good morning. This is the Gareth Cliff Show on CliffCentral.com. Happy Wednesday. This is the 4th of September 2019. I'm Siya Sangweni here with Gugu. Good morning, Gugu.
Good morning, Siya Sangweni.
Sure. That doesn't my name just roll off your tongue that way?
Well, I mean, it depends on how I say it. I could say Siya Sangweni or Siyabonga Sangweni.
Okay.
Yeah. The second one just gets like, it's like there's speed bumps over there.
Boy. What?
The second version.
Siyabonga Sangweni.
Siyabonga Sangweni. It doesn't roll off the tongue as smoothly.
Oh, does Michael Flax roll off the tongue as smoothly?
Oh, Flax.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Oh, so Flax has cool points as to how you pronounce his name, but
it
not
like
mine.
Some celebrity name. If I didn't know better, Michael Flax.
Compliments yeah. So early in the morning.
If you had to trademark the name Michael Flax, what would you trademark it as? What should he be selling? What would it be?
Like a movie star or something, right?
Oh. Isn't there a movie star, Michael Flax, already? Or is that... No, Holly Flax.
Holly Flax.
I was going to say, have you guys never Googled your name?
No, I have. And that Michael Flax keeps coming up. But it's because he's related or something to Holly Flax.
You see, I feel like you guys are taking it too slow. I've Googled my name. I've Googled other namesakes. I've Googled any other famous Sangweni's. It aren't really a lot. Uh-huh. And the irony is I make a living, inverted commas, out of speaking. But there's a soccer player named Siyabonga Sangweni as well. And if you Google my name, though, well, our name, he pops up more. And it's him doing all of these interviews. And without being nasty, you know, let's just be honest, soccer players in this country are not known to be the most eloquent people out there. So I'm always thinking, what if someone wants to book me for something? They Google my name and that's what they find.
So
yeah, it's just not all good in the hood. But anyway.
Once I was on Facebook and I just get this random ad by a Michael Flax. So I ignore it for a while. And then eventually I'm like, okay, let me accept this guy. So I accept him and then he goes straight into conversation. Oh. Hey, thought I would add all the Michael Flaxes I found on Facebook. Want to see if we're related. Who's your cousins? Who's us? We had absolutely nothing in common. We had zero relations.
That's a little odd.
It was very disappointing though. I thought, oh, this could be so cool. Imagine we fly out to meet each other.
And then what? You have a cousin who's also named Michael Flax?
No, and then like imagine you like go to Starbucks and they're like, what's your name? Flax. What's your name? Flax. You got like buddies for life.
You got buddies for
life. No, don't like that. I need all of the focus on me.
I've always wanted to meet, you know, like everyone. They say, I can't remember the exact stat, but everyone has a doppelganger. There's someone in this world.
Doppelganger. Yes.
Doppelganger.
What's a doppelganger?
Someone who looks like you.
Ah. Would you not want to meet that person?
It's awkward. I don't want to meet someone who looks like me.
I would love to meet someone that looks like me.
But you see, yeah, if you squint, I've seen some people who look like you.
Yeah, there's that Schmidt from New Girl. Most people say that I look like.
Schmidt from New Girl. Okay.
Have you never seen
it? Now I need to Google to figure it out. Schmidt from New Girl, the TV series.
Yeah, if you do like a side-by-side comparison, I think it's pretty accurate.
Yeah, okay. Squint, put glasses on him, maybe
you
we're talking.
You definitely know who your doppelganger is. Who is it?
No. Who?
There's no ways you haven't searched or trying to figure it out.
How do you search for someone who looks like you? What do you put in there?
No, well, don't you think there's certain features and...
Oh, you mean in terms of famous people?
Yeah. Well, famous, unfamous. Mm. Someone's definitely said, Google, you look exactly like...
I've been told and I hate it because you look at that person and you're like, I don't look like that. There's a soccer player... There's an actor, and I'm just like, I don't look like those people.
Okay, who have you been told you look like?
I don't know the soccer player's name, but the actor, it's the guy who he acted, well, I don't know whether he still acts in Isibaya and Isidingo. Mm-hmm. I don't know what his name is.
You can't leave us here. We're trying to figure this out.
And, he's the cop on Isibaya.
I'm about to say, like, Isibaya cast cop, okay.
In Isidingo.
Yeah, I'd actually be interested to figure out
who that is. It's fine.
Because I don't think there's anyone who has like the spitting image of me.
Is it?
And even with, you know, siblings, the people who will say like, oh my gosh, you guys look alike. And I'll be looking at my sisters going, no, we don't. So I guess it's all perspective, but we'll take it as that. So we have a lot to discuss this morning. Listen, if you were listening out to yesterday's show, a lot of people were saying it was a very heavy and negative day, but I think it was one of those conversations and one of those days we just all had to have, because I think everyone around the country was just trying to make sense of every and anything that was going on, that was all in the news. Mm-hmm. But this morning will be a little better. So if you do want to add into anything that we're discussing on the show, all you have to do is message us 079-748-2090. Team, you guys can just decide, do you want to reflect on some of the messages we received yesterday? Because there's some messages we didn't even get to yesterday. Okay, so here's something from Anele, who sent us a message saying, I think the one person has a point. This is around the conversations we were having around the lootings that are happening in Joburg CBD. Mm-hmm. So Anele writes, I think the one person has a point. We see what happens in the townships, people raping children, killing other Africans, as in people from other African countries, looting, burning shit. See, as a black South African, yes, living abroad, we need a mindset shift. Okay. So that's from Anele. And then Gab sent us a message saying, listening to today's podcast, well, that's from yesterday, white privilege means we have not been exposed to this violence. Sure, we hear about it, but never personally experienced it. When black kids see this violence, don't understand it and have no positive role models who can explain things to them. They think this is the norm. Why would they not do it? Guga and Sia can say they don't understand it because it appears they have a stable upbringing. That being said, shootings in America are always by white males. I can't understand what we are doing wrong. We are broken and I'm completely overwhelmed on what I need to do to raise my boy not to be an asshole.
I think that's very honest of that person over there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That is very, very honest. And I appreciate honest people, honest conversations like that.
Yeah. It is what it is, yeah. Mm. Who is this? Vessel says, good morning, Chief Correspondent Sia. Yeah, well.
Chief Correspondent.
I appreciate Chief Correspondent more than Chief. What do they call me yesterday?
What do they call
the
you?
Chief Correspondent of Bad News.
Of Bad News.
Yes, I prefer Chief Correspondent on its own. And it is a Wednesday, by the way, so Gord will be coming in. But true to form, Gord always has something going on. He actually texted me before I got here, and he says, running a little late due to coffee spilling incident. See you soon. I don't know what that means.
I'm excited to hear it.
We'll find out something along those lines. And then Michelle also sent us a message, 079-748-2090, and says, you guys were talking about number neighbors a while back. Michael, do you know what that is?
Yes. So don't you remember when Leanne brought up number neighbors? So it's your cell number, but let's say it ends in 8-8, then whoever's 8-9.
Yeah.
And then there was a trend that started going live where you'd randomly call them or randomly text them. But it started getting like really weird and creepy with some of the messages. I'd never do that. But I still would love to meet my doppelganger.
Doppelganger. Doppelganger.
I think both could work. Doppelganger. Doppelganger.
Michael.
Do you guys want to hear a nice, cute little story to start off your Wednesday?
Okay, sure.
So, Albert Einstein,
mm-hmm.
he was staying in a hotel. He was doing a conference. I can't remember the exact country that he was in, but a bellboy comes upstairs to bring him a package, and he didn't have money to give the bellboy. He didn't have any coins. So what he decided to do was he wrote the bellboy two notes and he told the bellboy that these two notes would be worth more than the tip he could give one day. So the one note was the equation to happiness and the other note was just a one-liner. So this is what he wrote for the equation to happiness. And now both of these notes just got sold in America. The one note, the equation to happiness, got sold for $1.5 million. And the other note got sold for just over $200,000.
Was it sold by the bellboy or someone in his family?
No, I think someone later on.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So do you guys want to hear the equation to happiness according to Albert Einstein?
Mm-hmm. I hope it's something we can all do right now. Sure. What is it?
So Albert Einstein wrote, a calm and modest life brings more happiness than the pursuit of success combined with constant restlessness.
Oh, that is deep.
That's pretty deep.
And that sold for what?
$1.5 million. And he just wrote that on a piece of paper. But if you start thinking about it, like, how much simpler life would be if you weren't constantly chasing this piece of paper called money, and you were just focusing on your happiness and how each day you can get fulfillment from.
What if your happiness comes from money?
I don't know, man.
That is a good question. Then what is true happiness to you? Is it just having the most amount of money, or is it having the most amount of like friends and family and health and
true happiness is a lot of zeros in my bank account.
That's some happiness to me.
I feel like most people don't understand happiness, and they think that happiness relates to money. But
are
then
you
get
to see it right now.
No. But then you get the billionaires who have all the money in the world but aren't happy, and then they start realizing only when they have all the money in the world that money doesn't mean happiness. Happiness is having your health and your family close by, and waking up in the morning and having purpose, etc.
Rich, Michael,
not just having zeros in your bank account.
Yeah, it's huge.
And then what was the other one-liner?
So the other one-liner, so this one sold for $300,000.
Mm-hmm.
And what Albert Einstein wrote is, where there's a will, there's a way.
Look, it's very slick. If I was that smart and famous, I would also pull a stunt like this.
This is way back when.
Here we go. Here's my signature. Rather, that's a tip. Sell it one day and it will be worth it. But I'm also assuming, though, that these sold for those prices simply because it's Albert Einstein.
Yeah.
Before the advice, right?
And also, it was his thinking, like, before social media came out, and like quotes, you could literally scan Instagram for hours and read motivational quotes, etc.
Yeah, true.
So Albert Einstein must have heard this or read this somewhere. And then he decided to pass on the knowledge.
What a man.
That's like the most important thing in life, is passing on knowledge to other people. I'm a firm believer that children should have like mentors, people they look up to.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know that saying, you become the people you surround yourself with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you should always be surrounding yourself with people that are a lot smarter than you. People that intimidate you. People that you have a lot to learn from. That's the only way you're going to progress in life.
That's why I surround myself with Kuku.
You bastard, you. Let's see how far we get.
Kuku, you could have taken that as a compliment.
Well, you
know, Who says I didn't mean it?
I know you all too well, boy.
I don't know what you're talking about.
He looks at me with that grin on his face. I'm like, he's...
Michael, was that not sincere? Comment.
I have no clue what happened there, but there was some inside joke I'm not getting.
Look, guys, I found my doppelganger, see ya?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Yanda Thomas.
Yanda... Thomas.
Actually, Yonder Thomas. Yonder Thomas.
Y-O-N?
D-A. Thomas. I don't think I look like him, but people...
Okay. Oh, this is a good... Yeah, this is a good little something.
Is it?
Yeah. I'm seeing it at like maybe 45%.
45%?
Yeah. It's not like a strong...
Yeah.
...resemblance.
It's
like coming out in the eyes, like just like a... Like a taster.
Yeah, there is something like going on there. We need to do like a split screen or something, and we'll post that online a little later on our social medias. Yeah, I don't believe I have anyone that I look like.
Have you never been told that you look like someone? Yesterday I said you remind me of Sid the Sloth from Ice Age. I did.
Are you enjoying that one? Does that bring you happiness in life?
Here's the...
To say I look like Sid the Sloth. Just deal with yourself and deal with that comment for a moment.
Look, I'm being sincere over here, just like you were being sincere 2 seconds ago.
Okay, sure. I'll take it as much as I give it. Yes,
the
Michael.
The exact stats on having a doppelganger is 1 in 135.
Jeez. So a doppelganger, does it have to be...
1 in 135 people?
Yes. I think the odds are in your favor.
They are.
But yeah, my chances of walking past them is slim to none.
Yeah.
Yeah, my maths is bad, but that says in a world of billions of people, then they're...
That's very high.
Hmm.
No, I don't want a lot of people looking like me.
So it says here, but the likelihood of someone walking around looking identical to you specifically in all 8 facial features is only 1 in 1 trillion.
Jeez.
Mm-mm. I don't like it.
I like it. I still want to meet my doppelganger. I love it how we all jumped onto Google to see your doppelganger. I was thinking the other day with regards to Google, you know, it's completely free. But imagine if the company decided to charge everyone R1 a month to use Google. Most people would pay R1 a month to use Google.
Imagine the amounts of money they'd make.
That makes so much extra cash. And some people wouldn't even like see R1 a month on Google.
Look, let's be honest, Michael, you've been giving us a couple of gems this week with some business ideas on how to make more money. First was the eToll solution. Now it's this. I would just start noting these.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
And there's
Michael, I've never
money
known
to
you.
Bring happiness.
I never knew him before, but you come with such wisdom and like profound things to say, boy. Like,
well, that's funny because Small also messaged us this morning saying, "I'm loving the new mature Michael Flax.
He's even grown a beard now. Look at him, boy.
Beard? Well, no, this took like weeks. I do not grow facial hair very fast. I literally, even for my hair, I had to do like research into shampoos, and I had to get like a shampoo. It's like in a bright pink bottle, and it says like grow fast.
Well, please don't tell me you ended up like having to buy some horse shampoo.
No,
that's
no,
what
never.
Some people shampoo, believe in.
Bob Martens. Bob Martens lately, boy.
No,
just don't go down that road. Now, you see, this is what makes me go, I don't think I believe when people say I look like someone. So Kala says, Sia, you look like the guy that does the insurance ad where he interviews the happy clients.
You do.
What's his name? He lives in Cape Town.
Katlego Maboy. No, I do not.
There is some sort of resemblance over there.
What?
I think definitely in that personality.
We're both black.
No, you're both very bubbly personalities. So
yeah, but a personality vibrant. And a double gang are two different things. I've had... There's a series, Everybody Hates Chris, with Chris Rock.
Yes.
He narrates the series. I've been told that I also sort of look like that guy, the younger version of Chris Rock in that series. I don't see it. Even just last week, someone saw the photo of Steve Harvey and I, and they were like, you know, I think Steve could be your uncle. I'm like, no.
I think Steve could be everyone's uncle.
No, he couldn't. Just because we're both black and we have, like, what, a bit of a wide nose, then that's all. I don't think we look alike at all. And one of these days, I think we'll start skimming over Eddie's messages.
What's
and not
Eddie
going even
morning?
In depth in all of them. So Eddie says... It's bad luck and a superstitious belief to cut your own hair on Wednesday in Thailand. So today I'm trimming my pubes.
I literally have one friend.
I don't want to know where this is going.
I have one friend that cuts
Michael,
his own hair, hair on his head. And I've never understood. And it really looks good. I've never understood
hair,
how someone does it.
I don't go to the
No, but you're using clippers straight. Yeah. This guy's using scissors and he's getting it pretty darn accurate.
Jeez.
Sorry. I was just nervous to see where that comment was going to go. I'm like, I know we're all about bonding and I know we're all about finding out different things, but I don't want to know you guys that well.
I don't think I could ever give myself a haircut. I'm very like, when I go to the hairdresser, I do my research. So I pull up about 5 different photos of exactly what I want so that we're on the same page. And once we're on the same page, then we can continue with the haircut.
Look,
and there's no talking during the haircut. I still, for the past like 5 years, I've believed we will have nothing in common.
Absolutely.
I was literally, my last haircut, the guy decided, okay, let's make small chat.
No.
So it went terribly wrong. He's like, so where do you work? So I'm like, oh, no, I work in the Sandton area. And then I'm like, okay, got to carry on the conversation. Where do you work? And then he's like, dude, I work here. And then I'm like, cool, no more conversation.
Yeah.
I think we've opened up a can of worms here because Ash has messaged us saying, sir, you look like you could be related to Chris Rock. You don't look like him, but maybe a cousin or a brother.
Yeah, you do look like you could be a lighty in his family.
No. And then Vundo actually was adding to the Chris Rock thing as well before saying, see, look up the boy who's an American TV comedy actor. He stars in the show called Chris and he's the main character. Thank me later. No.
You could sort of be like Chris Rock's son.
But that also doesn't mean anything much.
Yeah, I can definitely see a slight resemblance, but not all 8 facial features.
What are these eight facial features?
I have
features?
No clue. We read it in the statistic and I'm not seeing it yet.
Michael was going to say, wow, that sounds
like
very impressive.
The eyes, the nose, the mouth, eyebrows, chin, That's five.
Let's not guess. But
the other three, I have no clue.
So the dude who does Everybody Hates Chris, mm-hmm. I think you do look like him.
What's the actor's name?
I think it's Tyler James Williams.
Okay. Yeah, I'm up to be corrected, but just knowing myself, I don't see any sort of resemblance there at all. I'm not even going to go that far. So it is a Wednesday, so it's Oh My God Day.
Gord. Thanks for joining us.
Gord is here. And look, before we go anywhere else, and Gord, before we get into the news, I think it is apt and appropriate because I did read out the message you sent to me a little earlier. What the heck is going on with a coffee spilling
accident? I spilled coffee, Gord, absolutely everywhere this morning, and it went on my plug adapter. You know, like I have it next to the bed for the cell phone charger and everything, tripped the lights.
Did it explode?
No, just the lights just went off, but it was fucking everywhere. It was like under my bed. That's the worst thing. You're just busy getting up. You're like, yes, I'm going to have coffee.
Should we trust him with a cup of coffee in here right now?
And then you, I need it. Is that you?
Yeah,
I'm on a different mic than the one I'm used to.
You are here now with a cup of coffee next
to me. I'm very excited about actually drinking this coffee. So then you just hit
this equipment, I'm going
with. Then you just hit a kind of traffic threshold where leaving 5 or 7 minutes later causes your travel time to be like double or more.
Gord, your morning routine is
not involved getting up at 5 for this. No. The other 6 days of the week, I'm not up at this time at all. So
I do want to, one of these couple of weeks, just wake up a little earlier to make sure that I record the conversations we have in the morning.
It's the best. It's the highlight of my week.
Because one would swear the world is coming to an end.
I am a little bit dramatic. No, but I'm always glad to hear from you, Sia. But this morning was one of those where I said all the swear words I know and made up new ones. Because it's in the dark. You're just getting up. You're like excited about coffee. And then it's just chaos, darkness, spill everywhere.
Gord, very randomly and off the top of your head, do you feel like you have a doppelganger?
No, I don't think there's anyone that looks like me. Well, I mean, I'm sure there's people that look like me-ish, but no one where like anyone that knows me would see them and think that might have been me. I do kind of look a bit like a cross between an old sailor and a football hooligan. So.
Jeez, did you have to go down that road?
Okay, yeah, middle-aged sailor in that case.
Mate, you know, give yourself some clout here.
Sailors are awesome. They go from port to port. You must know where they've got barnacles in places that are hard to reach.
No, you've lost me. I don't know where we're going here, so I'm not going to comment any further. Brendan says, morning all. I think Seth the Sloth, a.k.a. Sia the Sloth, is the most accurate doppelganger for Sia. So we aren't going to go any further down that road.
That? That is honesty, Sia.
No, I don't see it. Let's get into the five things that you need to know before we get on with the rest of the show this morning. Want to find out what's going on in the news?
Yes.
Okay. Whether we like this
or it's happy news today.
Well, let me just get this out of the way and just say that there isn't good news for motorists, and because diesel and petrol is rising this week. This is exactly what George Meany also told us on Friday. So he says the price of both grades of petrol is set to rise at midnight yesterday. So if you're waking up to this, well, just know that if you haven't filled up, ask his shim.
Petrol stations are going to be packed today.
I've never understood that logic, though. You know, when people...
It's a marginal difference. It's literally like...
And the 11 rand you're going to save is, for me, not worth queuing in a six-car queue to get petrol at 11 at night.
For me, it's more like I just don't want the government to win. So I don't want them to... Like, I fill up the next day and then they get more money.
They've been winning, bro. Exactly. And for the sake of like feeling like you've got the upper hand once, if it was half price petrol, I'd understand, given that that's like 450 rand these days for a tank.
I'm happy they do it on a Wednesday because most petrol stations have steers and you could smash a nice discounted wacky Wednesday while you get ripped off on fuel.
I suppose that's a bright side approach to it.
Yeah, he's always looking.
Although, like, Wacky Wednesday used to be a deal. Now it's just a trap.
A trap hole?
Yeah, it's just still expensive, and it's like they get you in there to buy all. I mean, personal preference, I'm not wild about steers. It's always a soggy mess.
Yeah,
I always have to order it with, like, none of the 19 sauces they put on it so that I can actually, like, not have to drink it when I get home.
Ooh, that's my favorite part.
And get heartburn from that, like, chemical... luminous brown shit they put all over it. I can't abide messy food. I can't stand a thing that you have to eat as quickly as you can because it's falling apart and running down your arm.
Wow, Gord, you are doing an amazing job for Steers right now.
No, I mean, loads of my friends love them. It's a matter of preference. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. I'll eat Steers if you know, you lock me in a dungeon and feed me just Steers. I'll be perfectly happy with that.
The line that killed me was, you don't want to get home and drink.
Yeah, in general, whether it's a shawarma or a sandwich, when it's like a soggy mess, I'd rather have it be a little bit dry and add something to it, then have to like squeeze it into a cup in order to eat it first.
Too many visuals.
Anyway,
there.
But Steers, the Wacky Wednesday thing's a thing, my dude. It's Wednesday, my dudes.
I love how we went from the petrol price increase to Steers.
But I do also tactically time like my garage visits with ones that have shops I prefer, and I'm like a slave to e-bucks, so I do it at NGen. Mm. I'll put in like $150 if my petrol's low at like another station to get me to the en route NGen that suits my routine, e-bucks, which doesn't involve thing, getting man. Up at 5.
I'm more of the pick and pay rewards.
Okay.
So every time I fill up a tank, if I hit pick and pay at the right time, I can get those reduced price sandwiches with my free points.
I don't know about the reduced price sandwiches.
Yeah, if you go at like Hoppers 12 or 1, it's those sandwiches no one wanted, and then they just put a stick on it and like lower the price.
Yeah, my problem with that is and tomato. Like, that's not a chicken mayonnaise sandwich. That's a chicken mayonnaise and tomato sandwich. Why do I have to buy it to find out if it has something I hate in it? Like, it's like going to the pizza place, and only when you get home are you allowed to see whether there's a giant fish on your pizza. Like, I don't want tomato in my food. Let me know it's in the sandwich. So I just can't trust supermarket sandwiches. Because if they have tomato in it, it's not a case of just taking it out. I got to like give it to a homeless person and try again with lunch. And it's just gross.
Yeah,
it's like my literal least favorite food.
Yeah.
And it's exempt from being listed. Like, they'll tell you they won't call a cheese and tomato sandwich a cheese sandwich. They'll say it's a cheese and tomato. BLT got tomato. Anything else is allowed to have tomato, and they just don't have to say so. Seldom will you get a thing with avo in it, and they haven't said and avo. Oh. But you just don't get to know. So, like, given the fact that it's 50-50, I just don't do, like, supermarket sandwiches because you have to ask, and if there's no one to ask, you can't see.
I feel like
I've never analyzed food.
Yeah,
in
because
that
there's
way.
Not a thing that you tomato. There's not a thing that you universally loathe and cannot chew through.
Yeah.
That's in half of everything and never labeled. And like everybody else is like, oh my god, can you stop making such a drama about it? Just take the tomato off. I'm like, think of your least favorite food.
Yeah,
if that's been in a sandwich for a day, and they give you the sandwich and say, just take it off. Your least favorite thing that you can eat the least in the world. And it was just, it could just be in anything.
Do you like tomato sauce?
Yeah, I don't mind. I like tomato in any cooked form.
Okay.
As soon as it's raw, it freaks me out to look at it.
You can have a tomato sauce and
pasta.
Yes.
If you cook it, it changes. It's not really about the taste. It's got this like thing that it makes my face do. It's got a thing where I go like almost like an involuntary lemon face, but slightly different. It feels like my neck hurts from this like clenching spasm motion that it causes me. Point is, whether or not anybody cares about it, it doesn't make a difference why I don't like tomato. I just don't. Just imagine the thing that you can eat the least being hidden in 50% of all pre-made food.
Hidden.
And you can't know until you buy it and find out. So I will take my chances with like a food lover's market or a pick and pay or a spa sandwich if that's all there is and I'm in a hurry, whatever. But I either have to try and like confirm and talk to someone or just have a good look and hope that what I'm seeing doesn't betray me later.
So someone eating a tomato next to you is not a problem?
No, it's just like, don't put it right in front of my face.
Tomato.
No, the smell
doesn't
of a raw
really
tomato does freak
smell.
Me out. Yeah, a little, it does a little.
And that freaks you out.
But forget the fact that this is my thing. Everyone's got a thing. Mm. If you, for example, and I know like most people do like avo, but say for example, you
hate
don't
it.
Like avo.
Well, yeah.
They're
going
to tell you if avo's in a sandwich because it's like expensive.
Mm. Yeah,
so it's a
know.
Marketing feature to say like chicken mayo and avo sandwich. And then I get there and like, I'm like, okay, well, if I didn't want that, probably if you ask them not to put it on, it's raised the cost. So like, tomato doesn't raise the cost of anything, so they just like don't tell you it's in there. Lettuce is kind of similarly exempt. They just don't need to mention that lettuce is in your sandwich. But I think I've never met a person that
someone
cannot
who has an issue
get,
with
cannot
lettuce
get
that
through
much,
lettuce.
Right.
I'm sure they're out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's someone where like lettuce is the worst thing in the whole world. But for me, tomato just deserves to be mentioned, and then
I'm
it's like also lemon in a drink. So why do you have to tell them not to put lemon in your drink? I didn't order an anchovy in my drink. Surely you can have lemon if you ask for it, and not you have to like tell them not to put fruit in your beverage. I don't particularly want a vegetable or a fruit or a clam or an oyster or a piece of calamari or a block of cheese. I don't want any of those things in my Coke Zero. Just a Coke Zero and please and no lemon.
Okay. And on that note, second story.
Back to the actual news.
Oh, shit. I forgot about the news.
I'm interested in these sandwiches. Do they have tomato? They sound like a good deal.
I'm now going to check all the sandwiches at Pick and Pan, report it to management.
Text us like, Gord, chicken mayo doesn't have tomato.
Just by the way.
Watch out for the ham and cheese. It does have tomato.
Second story that you need to know this morning. Well, the ANC's top six has upheld the decision of the party in KZN to fire Zandi Lekumete as the EThekwini mayor. They're still standing by this. They're still making more statements around this. Well, the party's top brass met with the provincial leadership on Monday following complaints by Kumete that she was treated unfairly when instructed to resign. ANC Deputy Secretary General Jesse Duarte said the decision of the party's provincial office bearers to remove Kumete as mayor based on her performance was valid. Duarte said the party has also backed the preferred candidates to replace Kumete. Mxoli Sikhuanda is expected to be sworn in as EThekwini mayor tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow's Thursday, yes. Third story that you need to know this morning. Police fired rubber bullets in the Joburg CBD as attacks on foreign-owned shops resumed yesterday afternoon. Man.
Oh, it makes me so sad.
Yeah.
I mean, for real, though, it's just one of those ridiculous reasons to attack a person.
Mm.
Not that there's any great reasons to unless you're defending yourself, but it's just one of those nasty things that we're inclined to do as humans, where like we seem to just band together against anything different, and it's really sucks.
It's just a kind of
racism in unto itself, and it's like right up there with like, I don't know, like homophobia, that kind of thing, where you just like chuck everyone of a certain type, for lack of a better words, into one basket and say, I hate that. It's like really just heartbreaking.
Mm. Yeah, JP residents have told police minister Bekele that they want foreign nationals gone immediately. Well, yeah. South Africans involved in the mass looting in the CBD said they were targeting foreign-owned shops because they were involved in the drug trade. Well, talk about a generalizing statement.
Who's supporting the drug trade except mostly South Africans? I mean, supply and demand. Guarantee you, if you get rid of foreign nationals somehow, which you won't, but if you did, drugs would find their way to still be available because people want to buy them.
Well, listen to this. One man said they were tired of the drugs that have infested the area, saying all the Nigerians come in big cars. Where do they get the money? They're selling drugs and this government is behind them. Well, more police officers have been deployed to the inner city as they monitor threats of more violence, and Police Minister Bekele has pleaded with residents to be calm and give them until the end of the week to address their grievances. Here's something that I heard about some of the police action that was taking place in town. I heard that some police squads, for lack of a better term, didn't want to go into the city because they felt like there was too much violence.
That's awesome policing.
Well, shouldn't that be like for any person? That's like rule number one. If it's an unsafe environment, you don't have to go into it.
But you are the police member.
But still, your life also matters.
Yeah, but I mean, within reason, there's an expectation that you are the people that will go in. Mm. Like on 9/11 and shit, where all the firemen and police went in after the first building collapsed, knowing the second one was going to. It's like, yeah, maybe not necessarily like knowingly run to your suicide, but if the police won't go in because it's too violent, then it's now officially ungovernable, and it's like they need to declare it an independent war zone.
Mm. Or maybe they need to call in someone above the police, like the army.
Yeah. But I mean, they're all in the same vein, in my opinion.
No, more tactics in the army.
No, but I think it's a situation.
Bigger guns.
I mean, look at the Cape Town situation with all the killings that have been going on.
Mm-hmm.
They had to deploy the army in there.
Because the police can do it.
No, they can. I think they can.
You know, it depends. There's also different kinds of police. You got like the beat cop type person and the sort of general. The general kind of like walking around.
Yeah,
there's like levels.
Useless.
You get those serious hardcore cops that arrive in those. What are they called? Vans,
Caspers.
Have you
seen the ones with the berets?
Yeah, you get hectic ones. I used to live right by Parliament in Cape Town, literally one block from Parliament. I could stick my head out my window and see Parliament at the end of the road. Used to make getting in and out of your house really hard in State of the Nation. On that note, they would be ultra strict as to who can and can't get onto my road. But as soon as you just say to them, I live there, they're like, sweet, go through. So if anyone did want to, you know, that you can't get in for love or money unless you just point at a window and go, that's my apartment.
And no one will question
super forever. Tight security if you just say you live on the road. Mm. Anyway, those cops are hectic cops. They got like machine guns and camo pants. But then you got the regular oak that just like, I don't know what the regular ones do, but
the
they sit around.
The ones that are afraid to go in, like CSS.
Yeah, so if you've just got a handgun and there's like three of you, and those are setting, like, are doing ritual sacrifices on the front of a building.
Satanic.
You know, walking around with a, like, improvised Mad Max vehicle with heads hanging on the sides of it, and like, if that shit's going on in town and there's just fires and you check people leaping out of burning buildings and the actual apocalypse happens, like, I don't expect like officer and his partner with their little handgun that looks lost on the giant ass to like go in and bravely get crucified by the cannibals of the apocalypse.
If it is true, I really am surprised by a statement like that. The police saying they feel like, oh, too violent, too crazy. No,
not for us
it.
Today, Ux.
Do we have like a SWAT team?
Is it not the guys who wear the berets?
You just dig a beret, bro.
I feel like this is your second
like you
beret
reckon,
statement.
I can see that somewhere in your childhood, like a beret came to me. Yeah. Do not fuck with that
oak. Fuck with them. Yeah. Walk away.
Yeah, that oak's got, he's got beret power. They do bring a certain level of legitimacy to someone in military garb.
They don't drive around in vans. They drive the BMs, like your car. 3 series carry machine guns and that's it. They're not shooting pistols.
3 series with machine guns.
Focus. Let's focus, please.
I need an upgrade to that spec package.
Let's focus. Okay. Next story that you need to know this morning is the president has finally touched on what has been going on in the country this week.
Finally.
By making a bit of a brief statement. So he, as the president puts the spotlight, he's put the spotlight rather on the alarming rate of femicide. That's what he said. Even though the police have yet to make arrests in several such cases. So yesterday, our president Ramaphosa singled out the murders of the female boxer from the Eastern Cape, who was murdered by her boyfriend, and the 19-year-old university student in Cape Town, Uyinene, as well. He and other leaders, though, however, have decreed gender-based violence in general and how women are not safe in their homes or the streets. Well, yeah.
You know, I had this conversation with a friend of mine yesterday. It was an eerie conversation. But the one question we had to each other was, what is the solution?
Mm-hmm.
What do we do? We didn't have any answers to that. I mean, women are being killed, raped, and all these things almost on a daily. And what's the solution?
Look, I think for...
Well, I mean, not shouting at your mates who aren't rapists is a good way to start. People don't realize the echo chamber that they create in social media. I mean, for the most part, your audience is people that know you and like you. Mm. Unless you're some sort of like name brand celebrity. And I don't mean some dickface schmodel with 12,000 followers they've paid for.
Schmodel.
I mean, like, for the most part, regular people on social media are listening to and are followed by predominantly their friends. And if you're one of those click to add strangers, friends of their friends. So culturally, you're mostly the same. It's unlikely that you as like a predictably tattooed, angry sort of political identity politics type are being listened to by a lot of the people you're trying to shout at.
Mm.
So like you're telling your mates and your mates' husbands and brothers and stuff that you're outraged by the way men behave. And that's fine because like there is broadly a lot of problems with the way men in general across the spectrum are raised to see masculinity in themselves in the world. But for the most part, like yelling at your probably not rapist mates that all men are intrinsically rapists makes the next argument you have that might be very valid about something to do with equality very hard to listen to.
Mm.
So the reaching the right audience is with your like just pointing at a problem and screaming at it in front of your friends doesn't do much, even if the problem validly deserves to be screamed at. But educating the right people in a way that's not accusatory and immediately is a conviction is something we need. We need, like, you've got a very seriously uneducated population in South Africa, and even those people who do have access to privilege and are educated and have jobs, like the police officer, I wouldn't call that a privileged life, but I mean the person is a professional person, and not necessarily like all homeless street thugs. this the way that men are kind of raised to see women and their responsibility is like we need to educate people across the board. You've got a massive uneducated a part of the population that just don't know about concepts like equality and that kind of thing, and believe that it's like your masculine right to overpower people. We need to educate and like. I don't know what a better word is, like because it implies all kinds of political shit that I'm not trying to imply, but we need to civilize people, like, and not in a colonial way before anybody gets that kind of idea in their head. I mean, we need to like make society safe and respect equality and everybody's right to not be hurt or everybody's human rights. And that starts with making people understand those principles. Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of we live in a very violent country and there's reasons for it. Mm. Like they're not justifiable reasons, but there's reasons for it. Oof. And like telling your besties on social media how outraged you are, just it doesn't do anything.
On this note of the president speaking out, I think he's damned if he does, and he's damned if he doesn't. I don't think a statement like the one he's just made makes that much of a difference. But personally, I think he should have just said something a little sooner.
But at least he's acknowledged that. What did he say? A state of femicide?
Yeah, I mean, but you can just say anything up until you're blue in the face. I think he should have said something sooner.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I'm just saying at least he's acknowledged it now as opposed to never acknowledging it. I mean, bear in mind, we've had governments before that have taken years to acknowledge AIDS being a real thing. You know what I mean? Like, at least this is like on the books as being officially, what's the word, denounced by the government, as opposed to not.
I don't think, I was actually going to say maybe my standards are a bit too high, but actually I don't think my standards are too high. It's a statement, man.
Yeah, it could have come sooner, but point is that it's better that it came.
That's one optimistic viewpoint that I don't have.
You wanted it yesterday or the day before.
You should have said something way, way sooner. Instead, they went, all of the government accounts were tweeting, oh, our condolences to UNAN. And
those dudes have got to have a serious powwow anytime it's time to say or not say anything.
Properly.
Yeah.
Last story that you need to know this morning before we continue on with the rest of the show, just touching on some of the violence that's happening in CBD here in Johannesburg. Well, the African Union and Nigeria have sounded their alarm around this violence by Nigeria summoning its South African ambassador to express displeasure over the treatment of her citizens and dispatched a special envoy who is expected to arrive later this week. Several Nigerians use social media to call for boycotts of South African companies, including MTN and DSTV and the retailer Shoprite as well. Separately, the African Union has condemned the violence in the strongest terms, but has said that they are encouraged by arrests already made by the South African authorities around this. South Africa, let's just remember, man, we are not, you know, all that we think we are as well.
We like, on the one hand, like the most welcoming to like tourists and, you know, generally seen as being, when we're not being violent, pretty friendly, easygoing people. And like, I know from my travels that a lot of foreigners when they're in a country, so like other travelers. So say, for example, you go to LA and you run into English people, Australian people, Canadian people that are also visiting or have taken up residence there. And they're generally quite like, for the most part, excited to meet a South African. They either know others or they've met along the way others. And we've kind of known for being quite friendly and stuff. But yes, we dicks inside the country.
Yeah,
and we dicks to each other. Like the most violent, the most like angry, we so like politically closed-minded and hateful. And yet, like, most people individually or in small groups are good. Not all, but you encounter so many great people in your day-to-day life. And we have a good reputation as travelers. But yet you come here and there's just so much people hate about each other. Mm. And they act on it. You know, we actually act on it. It's one thing to just, like, murmur and be upset and have a rant, like – someone on this radio show might be doing. But it's like we actually take action in our hatred. And that's the thing that I really struggle with. How can you hate somebody, especially someone you don't know, so much
that
you actually go and physically interfere with them?
To that point.
To want to like hurt somebody for being different. It fucks my brain up.
Just as of crunching the numbers currently, there have been 5 deaths that have been reported with all of these CBD violent outbreaks. And then police have also said that 189 people have been arrested so far. That number seems, I wouldn't say a little exaggerated, but okay. The same police, you said they didn't want to go in because it was too violent, have now arrested 189 probably. People.
It's happening in many places. I mean, yesterday we spoke about Orange Grove and how they're actually not going into areas like that. I spoke to Dory, who works here, yesterday, and she says Orange Grove was also a mess yesterday. She says they were pulling people out of their houses.
Yeah.
And it's hectic, man. So you've got it in the CBD. You've got it in Orange Grove. Pretoria, it's happening. So it's quite widespread, if you think about it.
Actually, that's horrible, man.
That is horrible. It's... Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a wrap of the five things that you need to know. But I just want to bring this story up because I think we touched on it yesterday. And here's a bit of an update. So while we were actually doing the show, we found out the development in the Amy Lee Diaga story. This is a six-year-old girl who was kidnapped from her school, snatched out of her mother's arms, literally. And we broke the story that she's actually been found and she's unharmed. We now know details of how she was released in the early hours of Tuesday morning.
Yeah, and who had her?
Yeah, that's still not really making sense. Well, at least hasn't been revealed by the family. But Emily Diacha's grandfather has been speaking to the media, and this is what he's now told about the entire ordeal. He's confirmed that there was no ransom that was paid for Emily's safe return, despite a demand for the money. According to a lot of news reports, it was said that these kidnappers asked for 2 million rands. So this grade R pupil, if you don't know the story, just recapping a little briefly, was snapped from her mother's car while being dropped off at school on Monday morning. So Martin, this is Amy Lee's grandfather, said that she was released just after 2 a.m. on Tuesday by four men near an informal settlement in Funderbell Park. He said that the little girl was then instructed by the kidnappers to run across the road in the dark at that time where her mother would be waiting for her. But in fact, there was no one waiting for her and the suspects just drove off and left her there. She was helped by strangers who were passing by and managed to take her to the nearest police station. And that's when the police alerted her family. So Emily has been safely reunited with her parents while police continue to gather information, hoping to make any arrests. So
I was also reading a couple of articles of like things that happened during the... Is the word abduction?
Well, the
kidnapping.
And I was just thinking, like, this little girl is one of the smartest little girls.
Mm-hmm. What did you hear?
So in one of the articles I read, they offered her food and she refused to eat it. She refused to eat anything that they offered her.
Oh, really?
That's why when her first words to her mother was that she wants to see her brother and have a hamburger. As well as when they dropped her off and they said, go to that car, your mom's in that car. She said, no, my mom's not in that car. That's not my mom's car. So very bright, bright girl. Also fearless to say that.
Look, I can't imagine it. I can't imagine being kidnapped at any age and your mind is all over the place and you're freaked out. And then at 6 years old, I still do think, not to be insensitive, I still do think there's more to the story that we just don't know.
There were reports that the release happened because of the outburst on social media that these guys must have got spooked. Think about it. They were
Everybody's looking.
Why kidnap a grade or child, a six-year-old? I mean, there must be some sort of plan there, not to kill or rape, because clearly they didn't do that.
There must have been
a plan, and it was a job.
Yeah,
I think
definitely planned out. I mean, they asked for a ransom.
Yeah,
but I mean, they would have got caught anyway. I'm just glad it played out not as bad as people thought it would. Yeah. And she was, I think, in the report they did clear her of any sexual assault. They did take her to the doctor.
I'm not certain about that. Yeah,
And she's reunited with her family. I think it a really good positive outcome to the worst case situation.
Oh. Yikes! Yeah, so that's a bit of an update on a story we've been covering this week, and then let's go to some messages before we wrap the first hour of the show up. 0797482090. Sam says, solution to violence against women would be to train and equip women with guns once 18 years old, as per Purple Bull political party manifesto.
Jeez, arming people is a I suppose they're trying to do that now in like US schools and stuff. But really? For me, it's like it shouldn't be necessary. Women shouldn't have to become soldiers exactly just to be safe.
That's exactly it.
But that's still not a bad idea for women to start actually looking in and investing into some
self-defense. Dude, jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Jiu-jitsu. And if you don't like jiu-jitsu, then get into Muay Thai striking or boxing. But like that's anybody who's wants to be able to defend themselves, but especially people who are vulnerable, like kids and women and smaller people, like jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, why is it
wrap your legs problem? Around someone's head? It doesn't matter if they twice your size, they can't breathe, they go to sleep. It's the best martial art for self-defense by a mile, in my opinion.
See, I think that everyone would benefit, not just women. Like I know one day when I have kids, I'll also like one of their extramural activities. I think it's great for them to do like kung fu or something like that. But with regards to protection, even men, so such as myself, I'll carry mace in the car in case of anything. So it's not just that women should do it. I think everyone should be raising the bar and actually getting educated on martial arts and being.
But especially people who are physically smaller and more vulnerable, where in an untrained situation, it comes down to a matter of strength. You want to be able to neutralize that threat.
Always. I hear you guys. I hear that. But I don't think that's the solution. The problem is men. Women should
I completely agree.
Carrying guns and going for jiu-jitsu training.
No, I completely
to
agree.
Not get raped.
The problem is, I 100% agree. Like almost a tangential point. Like I think it's empowering for and healthy and mentally good for you to be equipped to defend yourself in general, whoever you are, male, female, etc. It's almost like we went off on a little tangent. Absolutely. That's treating the symptom. Mm. I still think it's good for people to do. Just in general, it's good for people. My life is a lot better because I train some sort of martial art. But, you know, I'm not rolling around with six-pack abs being a big butt about it. But, like, it's just good for you. But at the same time, completely agree. It's not giving women guns, although if they want one, they should be able to get one. It's not about sending kids and women for martial art classes, although I think that's a good idea in general. It needs to be that people are safe to walk around the streets and to do their life and not to be constantly having to worry about terrible things happening just because they're a woman.
You'd also feel more secure knowing that you have a better understanding how to sort of adapt and act in when faced with a certain situation, both male and female.
Yeah, it can only be beneficial. But I agree with your point. It's treating the symptom. That's not how you solve the problem. No. It's to say, okay, well, cool. Men are like rapey fucking barbarian brute
continue
fuckers.
As you were.
Yeah, like let's all learn to defend ourselves against these like wild animals that are like, you know, and it's universal. It's men everywhere. Of all kinds.
Well, here's the thing. Carl adds on that point, I don't mean to be that guy, but overwhelming in South Africa, many more men are killed than women. Not saying there isn't a problem, but we must deal in facts.
Yeah, but I mean,
Carl, I get what you're saying, but I also think the differences in
the types of violence.
Yeah.
And the motivation behind it.
Men could be killed by other men, I think.
Yeah, and like it's
a slightly different case.
But it is a fair point. You know, people are violent in general and we lose sight of the fact that everybody's in danger and that the violent element often doesn't discriminate and just want to hurt whoever. But there's a different kind of motivation between thinking you can do what you want to women because you can and going, okay, well, I'm going to take my chances in a gunfight with those other guys.
Okay, just a couple of more messages to go through quickly. Dumelo, I'm going to amuse you by reading this, but I really don't know what you want us to do right now. Dumelo says, my Siri went off 3 times in the last 5 minutes of me listening to you guys. Please hold off on the strong S emphasis in your sentences, y'all. Well, Dumelo, what
Siri, please hold off on S sentences. Seriously, though, guys, let's... Let's sequester the
like
subculture of saying S sentences.
Really, Dumelo, with all the love in my heart, what are we meant to do right now? Are we meant to...
Siri, please Google, how do I get rid of my piles?
Hey, Siri, please do factory reset.
Do you know everyone hates us right now? Just everyone hates us. And
hey,
then,
Siri, please play country and western.
last point before we wrap up the hour. It's... clear that some people didn't like the food talk that you brought up, Gord, or either really, really loved it. Because people like Ropwa says, I fucking hate having mushrooms in any food.
Yeah,
does
dude,
not
I
sit
agree.
Well with me.
Now,
at
imagine
all.
It was in, what was the dude's name? Ropwa.
Yeah.
Imagine it was in 50% of everything and it was always a gamble.
Then someone says, what a painful load of shit about tomato and food. Not interested, move on.
No, fair enough.
Meanwhile, Clint from the Val also adds, says,
Clint!
Says, Gord, I'm on the same page about the tomato. I even tell the Oaks at Wimpy to not bring the grilled mess on the plate because it leaves the goo residue on the plate that clings to everything else.
Yeah.
Wow, guys.
My point is, it's all about being able to know whether it's there or not. That's the whole point.
You know what you guys should try for lunch today? So I started this probably last week and is extremely therapeutic and creative at the same time. Find a place that has a salad bar where you just take an empty bowl and you can design your own salad.
I don't want salad. I don't try that shit.
No, I go to cook because I'm always either on or trying to get right with the diet.
No.
And like Calcaccio's, I refuse. I can't say Calcaccio's.
No,
it just kills my life.
Calcaccio's.
Calcaccio, I know, but it just like feels unnatural because I was raised with Calcaccio. Calcaccio's do an awesome thing where you can like build a salad, but you do end up, it's not just all leaves. You'll be throwing like feta in there and grilled chicken and cashew nuts and all kinds of cool shit. But like, it's kind of like a grown up version of the tub. Like you're talking about? Like compile your own jaw.
So this one, you'll make it your own, and then you'll see the different colors coming together. You'll get the red peppers, the yellow peppers, and you
Look
literally
at you,
every
Gordon
day,
Ramsay.
Every day for me is like a different taste experience.
Where do you get them?
At Food Lovers.
Oh. Yeah, Food Lovers have that jaw going on quite hard.
Look, it's the Gordon Michael food review
Gordon,
show
Gordon
happening.
So, funny.
So, all right.
Gordon's so funny.
What?
You just started laughing.
No, I'm just imagining the mixing of colors and making food into an art project.
I'm done, yeah.
But there different supermarkets are better at this. Like, you get hugely varying levels of like the pre-prepared food at spas. Spa for me, you get like the best spas ever and then you get really dingy, shitty ones. Right. But if you find a good spa, like Hobart in Bryanston, Pine Slope, Cedar Square, in Cape Town, the thing, the court, the whatever it's called, I forget there, where Greenside starts and CBD ends. There's a brilliant spa. A really good spa is the best for like going and getting lunch food pre-made. Mm. But sometimes everything's just like sweet chili sauce. And to find a good deli section at a supermarket is like a beautiful thing.
I did not know this is where this conversation was going when we started the show. But wait, sorry to cut you off there, Michael. We do have to wrap up just for part one. But this is the Gareth Cliff Show. We'll be back straight after this.
This is CliffCentral.com.